good. So I've got a question for you. How is your hearing? I don't mean whether you have your hard of hearing, but how is your spiritual hearing? If there's, I was saying a story to the 9 o'clock that we've got 5 grandsons, and our fourth one, we were in a water park on Thursday, and he had his shoes off and he was running in the water, and I wasn't prepared to go into the water, okay, and he knew that. And he had decided to run into an area that only he could go to, and I didn't want him to be there, and I was calling after him. He could hear what I was saying, but he wasn't listening. Okay? Husbands have been accused of that for a very long time. So, if there's one thing that I'd like you to remember as you leave this morning, if you don't do anything else, is, are you listening to what God is saying to you? And we could stop now, right? And we could go home. Because are we listening to what God is saying to us? So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you're so gracious to us, that you gently lead us and you teach us. We thank you for your word and for all that it says to us. Oh, I pray, Lord, that you will come by your Spirit this morning. Speak to us. Give us the message that you want us to learn individually and corporately. Lord, we ask you to work in Jesus' name, please. Amen. Amen. So, the reading is from Matthew 13, 1 to 17. And you'll notice it's not Matthew 13, 1 to 23. Because it's not the interpretation of the parable of the sower. You're going to get that on the 1st of May. And so I will stop at verse 17. It's got to be 3 headings, right? There's the parable of the sower, which is in verses 1 to 9. There's the disciples' question of why, Jesus, are you speaking in parable? And Jesus' response in verses 11 to 15. And then there's the privilege of living in the time when the truth about Christ has been fully revealed. But the key verse to this, what is actually quite a difficult passage, is, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's the key. So the introduction, the context of this chapter is everything that Jesus has said and done that we've been engaged in as a worshiping community for quite a few months now, right? In the whole of Matthew. Chapter 13 is a collection of 7 parables. It's considered by some to be the hinge of the Gospel of Matthew. And what Jesus has been doing in thematically being presented in the first 12 chapters of Matthew, at least from Matthew 4 anyway, is his ministry in Galilee. So after his time of testing in the wilderness, John the Baptist had been put in prison, Jesus moved to Galilee and moved to Capernaum as his teaching centre. So and what we've got in that chapters from chapter 4 to chapter 12 is a demonstration of Jesus' teaching of the kingdom of God in the Sermon on the Mount, his collection of miracles in chapters 8 and 9, which is summarized when John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus and says, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus summarizes his is ministering in Galilee up to this point by saying, go back and report to John. This is in Matthew 11, 2-6. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. So if you were living in Galilee at that time, and you were receptive to what Jesus was teaching, this is what you would have seen. You would have seen a roof being taken apart, and somebody being let down, and was paralyzed, and being healed. You will have come across the compassion of Christ. In Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38, Jesus is described as saying, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus gave a warning to this area of Galilee, to Chorazin, to Capernaum, to Bethsaida. And he basically said, if the miracles that I've done in your town had been done in Tyre and Sidon or been done in Sodom, they would have repented long ago, because Jesus' teaching to this group was to repent and turn to God. But his great invitation to the people was as well, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So this is the background to chapter 13. And in the day on the same day as chapter 13, he has been with the Pharisees. He has been arguing with them and discussing with them what's lawful on the Sabbath. People will have seen the man with the disabled hand healed. He will have seen the blind and the mute healed. Now, why am I going into detail about this? Because it's important, because these are people who have had the kingdom of God demonstrated to them. Okay? And then we come to chapter 13, which is the parable of the sower, and you probably know it very well. The sower went out to sow, and the seed fell in various places. And he talks about the seed producing fruit. And then he comes to the end of that, into chapter 9, having described the sower, and he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Doesn't say anything else. Doesn't explain the parable to the people. And that is why you've got the disciples asking the question in verse 10, why are you speaking to the people in parables like this? Because this is a new form of teaching that Jesus is now engaged in. He's now giving stories of the kingdom. And then, so there's a puzzle to the disciples. And they say, well, why are you doing this, Jesus? And he replied in verse 11, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. That's a difficult verse, right? Because actually what it's saying is, the people who respond will be given the secrets of the kingdom. Those who choose not to respond will not be given the secrets of the kingdom. So that the gospel, which is meant to bring life, doesn't always do that to individuals. And we need to ask ourselves, which side of that divide are we on? Because the gospel which produces life is a blessed thing. It's a thing of revelation. So if you and I know the reality of the secrets of the kingdom of God, which is basically who Jesus is. Remember, the folks in Jesus' time were looking for a Messiah, but they were looking for a Messiah who was going to be a conqueror. They weren't looking for the type of Messiah that Jesus actually came to be, which is to conquer people's hearts and to bring people into the kingdom. So if you go forward into Matthew 16, then you've got the time when Jesus is meeting with his disciples, and Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And Simon Peter says, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." And if you and I are in a position this morning of being able to say, "I know who Jesus is, he's my Savior, he came to die on the cross, my sins are forgiven," that is a supernatural work of God in your heart. And we just need to be rejoicing in that. Jesus said, "My Father's entrusted everything to me. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those whom he chooses to reveal to him." And then Jesus goes on and says, "So why do I speak in parables?" This is why I speak in parables, he says in verses 13 to 15. "That though seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not hear or understand, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding, you will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, they've closed their eyes, that otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and I would heal them." That is a difficult passage of Scripture to understand. Commentators say that they are probably one of the most difficult verses in the whole of the Gospel narrative. Jesus' explanation seems harsh and out of character. Was he deliberately trying to hide truth in speaking in parables? Why were the mysteries of the kingdom to be known only by his disciples? Both experts and lay people are confused. Now, it's very interesting and very important that Jesus uses the Isaiah passage to explain this. So bear with me a minute, okay? So Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. That's the time, remember, when in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And Isaiah was in the presence of God, and he recognized his sinfulness, and God cleansed him. And he said, I want you to go and be my messenger, Isaiah. And then he says to Isaiah, "Well, actually, you're going to end up, the people are not going to listen to you because their hearts are hard." Now, that needs to be seen in the context of chapters 1 to 5 of Isaiah, where God really has a heart for his people. He keeps calling them to repentance, and they keep turning away from him. So in chapter 1 of Isaiah, very importantly, God says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they will be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword." Jesus is using that passage to say, in the same way as I've gone after people and given them the message, my aim for them is for them to come into the kingdom, they've turned and they've become hardened, hard-hearted, in the same way as the people did in Isaiah's time. Remember, Jesus lovingly called the weary and the heavy laden to him just a few chapters ago. He saw the crowds. He had compassion on them. Later on, when he went to Jerusalem, he wept over Jerusalem. Jesus' heart was for the people, not against them. So when some commentator has helpfully said, if you read these verses, not here in a tone of bitter exasperation, but a tone of grateful love, it will sound quite different. It doesn't tell us of a God who deliberately blinded men and hid his truth, but really longed to enter into a new way of giving stories so people could begin to appreciate stuff that they've now become blinded and darkened to. There are basically three reasons put forward in the commentaries about why Jesus spoke in parables. One of them I agree with. One was that Jesus was hiding, wanted to hide the gospel from the Jewish rulers because he wasn't ready yet to go to Calvary, and so he wasn't quite so open with his with the way he taught. The second one was that he was hiding truth from people through parables. But I think what Jesus was doing out of his heart of love was that he was finding a new expression of truth through stories in order to be able for those folks whose hearts were hardened to be able to come to himself, but they have ears to hear, by using illustrations. One of the sermons I listened to said, if you lose people in a sermon, you just give them a story, because that will perk them up a bit. And Jesus, I believe, what was doing in his parables was giving stories in order to bring life, not to bring death. There is a danger, you know, of coming under the gospel if you don't respond, that there will be a hardening of people's hearts. I've seen it. I was in a meeting recently where there were folks who were Christians, there were folks who were not Christians, and you could see that what was going on was actually hardening those people's hearts. So be careful when you come under the sound of the gospel, the precious gospel of Christ, that you respond in a way that doesn't result in hardening, but rather in terms of softening and responding to that. And then Jesus goes on and talks about, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears where they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people have longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. We live in a blessed time of revelation. We know that we've got the scriptures, right? We are blessed because we see things that the prophets and the righteous people of the Old Testament didn't see. And they're spiritually revealed to us. So in John's Gospel, John says in his early part, the true light that gives light is coming into the world. And that he was in the world, though the world was made by him, we didn't recognize him. Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of natural descent, not of a human decision, but born out of God. You have been, if you're in Christ this morning, you've been saved by grace. Your eyes are blessed. The danger is, brothers and sisters in Christ, those of us who have been in the gospel and been Christians for a long time, is we get too used to it. We really do. We come around the Lord's table and the impact of what Christ has done for us, demonstrated through the blood of Christ, doesn't burn our hearts as it should. God protect us from that. The antidote for this, I believe, is what the scriptures talks about, being filled with the Spirit. We need to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily life. So the Spirit comes and takes of the love of Christ and makes it burn in our hearts. But I think I need to ask myself, and you need to ask yourselves, if you're a believer this morning, are the truths of the gospel, is it as shiny as it was, or is it drossed over? Have our hearts become a little hardened, not in the sense of turning away from God, but not turning towards God and responding in love? You know, we are in a church where the gospel is faithfully preached Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And that's a privilege that we need to take to heart. It needs to change us, right? If the scriptures, if knowing Christ doesn't change us, then I don't think it's just nothing happens. Our hearts harden. as a consequence. If God is speaking to you today, as you sit in your seat, and you don't do anything about it, the consequence is that your heart will be hardened. So if God is speaking to you now, in whatever area, you need to respond to it. Do you know Christ as Saviour? We talk about the love that Jesus has for us. Do the symbols of communion about the death of Christ and His forgiveness for your sins. No matter what your sins have been, God can forgive them because He's paid the price on Calvary. If He's speaking to you today, the scripture says, don't harden your heart, because today is the day of salvation. And if God is speaking to you, brothers and sisters, about a specific area, don't harden your hearts, because God wants to move you forward. So let's move on with God by listening to His voice as He speaks to us.